As far as kind of some thoughts that I want to share with you today from God's word, I feel like I need to impress upon us that this, what we're doing here today, everything that's going on, the decisions that people are being forced to make, both as individuals and as churches, the decisions our elders have been forced to make, all of this is not good. I think we need to understand that and acknowledge that. Now, I don't think that the choice to suspend worship or our services is sinful, given the circumstances. That's not what I'm saying at all. I trust our shepherds. I trust their wisdom. I trust their experience to make choices that are godly and helpful for us here with the church in Conroe. However, that does not make the decision any easier to make. That does not make the consequences of these decisions any less real or heart-wrenching. And our elders recognize that. And I think we all need to recognize that what we are being compelled to do or forced to do in this, with this, you know, the situation we have going on around us is not a good thing. Christians are not meant to be like this. We're not meant to be Christians in isolation. We're not meant to be Christians separated from one another, but we're meant to be God's people in a community. God designed a community, the church, so that we can live together and so that we can have relationships with one another and help one another and build one another up and encourage one another. I mean, you look at all of the one another commands in the Bible and you see very quickly that God intended for us to do things together, not separated. You know, the Proverbs teach us that iron sharpens iron. One man sharpens another man. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 talks about when you have two or three, it's a stronger unity than just one. You know, one can pick up the other and things like that. The assembly of God's people on a weekly basis is there for a reason. We partake of the Lord's Supper. We sing, we pray, we study, we do all that together. So although these measures are advisable, maybe they're mandated in certain parts of the country, in certain parts of the state even. Perhaps we could say that they're necessary measures to cancel worship, to you know, keep the virus from spreading or whatever the case may be. They may be all of those things, but it's not good. It's not something we need to take pleasure in. It's not something we need to take lightly. Here's my encouragement to you. Do not grow comfortable with this. Never get to the point where you are satisfied with, you know, listening to a sermon online and taking the Lord's Supper at home, because that's not what God intended for us. We need one another, and we need to be careful towards that end. That said, one of the things this virus has done, one of the subsequent consequences of social distancing, is that it's given us a lot of free time. Many of us have suddenly grown to have a lot more free time than we previously had. Maybe your job is halted for a time, or maybe worse. You know, some people are being laid off, and that's unfortunate. But we have all of this free time now. Maybe your education is on hold. Maybe you were going to school, and now you're not going to school, or your school has been altered in some way, and you have this, you know, some more freedom in how you spend your time. Suddenly, we all have fewer assemblies, fewer Bible studies, things like that. It's not preferable, but it's likely that more free time is on the way. You know, I don't know how long this is going to last, but whatever the case is, we've got free time now. We've got some time that we can spend doing different things that maybe we wouldn't normally do in our daily life. So I just want to talk to you a little bit about the Christian and his free time. And what should we be doing as Christians with our newfound free time that we have? And by the way, these thoughts are not just for, you know, when a pandemic strikes the country and you're bound to your home, right? We always have free time. And it's always a question of what we do with our free time. So we need to make sure that we're using it well. Let me first, if you have a Bible and if you're following along, if not, you're welcome to listen. I'm going to turn to Ephesians chapter 5 first. Now, first thing I want to say is that it's important how we use our free time. That's significant. In Ephesians chapter 5, down in verse 15, Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus about their new life in Christ and the great blessings that they have in Christ and how they need to live in response to that blessing, specifically at the end of this book. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17, this is what Paul writes to the Ephesians. He says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So Paul teaches us something about our time, specifically the need to use our time well. Make the most of your time, Paul says. Paul uses a number of interesting ideas here, and I'll just point some out to you if you're looking there in the text. He first says, be careful how you walk. And of course, his walk here is not about physically putting steps in front of another, but you know, I think we understand it's the way you live. Be careful about the way you live, about the way you treat yourself, you know, treat your life, and go about your business. He says, be careful, which implies that we might use our time carelessly, that there's a careless way that we can use our time, and there's a careful way we can use our time. He says, walk not as unwise men, but as wise. There's a second idea in the text I think is interesting. Walk as wise. That implies that there are ways that we can use our time that are unwise. There are ways that we can use our time that is good, that is noble, that is according to wisdom. But then on the other hand, there are ways that we can use it that aren't. And we need to be careful with that respect. He gives us maybe a reason why we need to be careful with our time in Ephesians 5. He says, be careful with your time, be wise with your time, because he says the days are evil. And that's sort of an interesting expression. The days are evil. This may speak to maybe one of two ideas. This could be a reference to the idea that the days are morally evil. That is, be careful with your time because you're surrounded by a world filled with sin. The days are evil. People are wicked, you know, something like maybe the days of Noah or something where everybody's continually thinking about it. So you be careful because you are you're called to a higher standard. You're surrounded by evil. So be careful with the way that you use your time. It may be speaking of that sense, kind of a moral, physical, a moral evil, rather. It could be describing a physical kind of evil. That is to say, the days are physically evil to you or something like that, laborious, that, you know, there's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of things that can distract you from important things. And so in that sense, maybe the days are evil. But either way, Paul is saying that there's a reason for this. There's a reason to be careful, and it's because the days are evil. So he says, here's another interesting thing from the text. Be careful, be wise. The days are evil. He says, do not be foolish. Which implies, again, like the statement about wisdom, like the statement about being careful, it implies that there is a way that we can handle ourselves, that we can use our free time in a way that is foolish. It implies that we can misuse our time, and to do that would be foolish indeed. And then he says, understand the will of the Lord. I think that's a great way to cap off this little reading about free time. Understand what the will of the Lord is. I think that tells us something about what needs to guide our free time, what needs to be our guiding principle or our guiding light when it comes to how we use our free time. We need to understand what the will of God is. We need to turn to God, let Him guide our life and everything that goes along with that. So in the midst of all of these various ideas, be careful, be wise, the days are evil. You know, all of these things that Paul is talking about, right in the middle of that text, he says in verse 16, make the most of your time. This is true enough when we are going about our regular lives. You've got work, you've got school, you've got family, you've got other obligations. So in the midst of all of that, make the most of your time. That's true enough. How much more should this be the case when we suddenly find ourselves with enormous amounts of free time? We're just sitting around the house doing nothing. You know, how much more should we take these cautions, these instructions, these teachings seriously? How much more should we make the most of our free time in our life today, in our life this week? You know, there are a lot of reasons to be frustrated and bothered by what's going on around us. There's a lot of kind of scary things, a lot of things that make us anxious, make us worry, a lot of things going on. But count yourself blessed that among other things going on, you have free time. You have time to use. And the encouragement of Paul would be use it wisely. Be careful in the way that you use it. Because you're surrounded by evil days, don't be foolish, but be wise in the way that you use all of this free time that's come your way. So what kind of things should we be doing with our free time? What kind of places should we be allotting our time? How should we be going about that? Let's actually try to answer the opposite of that first. I want to try to answer a little bit about what we shouldn't do. And to do this, I want to turn over to Matthew chapter 6. So if you have a Bible, you can make your way over to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll read from there in just a moment. Here's what I think may be happening right about now in various homes around the country, the state, whatever the world may be. Here's what I think is probably happening in a lot of places. We are the most interconnected generation ever. We've got all of this social media, and I think you see it going on right now, right? If you pull up your Facebook page, if you're a Facebook member or user, if you are like me, you are seeing countless churches that are streaming live on Facebook, doing studies, doing sermons just like this. And I think this is wonderful. It's great. So here we are, we're the most interconnected generation probably ever. We have this internet system that keeps us all in communication. And in an instant, we go in lockdown. Here's this most interconnected generation. We go on lockdown for an undetermined amount of time. Nobody knows when it's going to end. It's just this crazy, surreal situation. And you ask yourself, what are we supposed to do? What possibly could we do with our time? Well, here's what I think people are probably doing. I think we're probably taking this free time we have, and we're reading every possible doomsday prediction about what's going on in the world, about the coronavirus, about economic collapse, and we're just building up in our minds this horrible idea about everything that's going to happen. So what we end up with is a lot of people sitting at home, on their couches, on their phones, in front of their TVs, fretting about things that are far beyond their control. For hours on end, days on end, we have these people that are just fretting, concerned about this, just without end. Friends, let me encourage you in this way first. You think about this free time you have. Don't spend your free time worrying. Just don't spend it there. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25. I actually want to read a fairly large section of this text. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. We're going to read down through verse 32. Listen to the words of Jesus when it comes to worry about things beyond our control. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Jesus teaches us that worry is not a good way to spend our free time. Worry is not a good way to spend our free time. Jesus asks these kind of rhetorical questions. Isn't your life, there in verse 25, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And I don't want to put words in the Lord's mouth, but maybe to paraphrase that for our own time and our own present situation, isn't life about more than the coronavirus? Isn't there more going on in the world? Aren't there other needs that need to be addressed? Other things in your life, in your family, in your home, in the people around you? Not that the coronavirus is not something significant, not that food and body and clothing are not significant in our lives, but this is not all that our life is about. Will worrying about the coronavirus keep you from contracting it? Probably not. Will sitting on your couch worrying about the coronavirus keep you from sharing it with another? Well, maybe if you're sitting on your couch, but the point is worrying doesn't keep the coronavirus from doing what it's going to do. Now hear me out here. Again, I just want to be clear with this, right? I'm not saying that we shouldn't take precautions, right? Obviously we have as a church, our communities are taking precautions. And I think many of us are taking precautions as individuals. Do what you can to be cautious. But here's my point with our free time that we have. Don't spend your hours sitting on your couch watching Fox News. Don't spend your hours sitting on the couch watching CNN, scrolling through the internet, scrolling through Facebook feeds of doomsday stories, worrying about what's going on around you. Listen again to the words of Jesus. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? Or what will we contract the coronavirus and die? Don't worry about those things. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Don't spend your time worrying, brothers and sisters. It's simply not worth your time to fret over this thing, because beyond taking these precautions, it's not worth worrying. It's not worth your time. So let me encourage you in that way. We've got all this free time. Let me encourage you not to spend it worrying. Don't spend it, mindlessly scrolling through Facebook and news sources and articles, finding things to be scared about. On the flip side of that, Jesus addresses for us in the same text, I think, something that we do need to be focusing on. So we've got all this free time. It's important how we use it. It's important that we don't use it fearing, that we don't use it up, being anxious about what's going on around us, feeding these fears. But rather, I want you to notice right here in Matthew chapter 6, what Jesus says we need to focus on, what Jesus says we need to spend our life devoting ourselves to. Verse 33, he continues, but in contrast to all of that, in contrast to all of the worry and the things of this life that you shouldn't be worrying in, verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So instead of spending your time seeking the things that promote worry and anxiety, Jesus encourages us to spend our time seeking God's kingdom and God's righteousness. Here, I don't think the word kingdom is a perfect parallel with the idea of church. Sometimes we say that the church is the kingdom, and there's a lot of overlap between those two ideas. But here, Jesus does not seem to be saying, seek first God's people, but rather he seems to be speaking about God's authority, God's kingship, his rule, his reign. Seek God's authority. God has rights. As a king, he has the rights of a king to rule, to dictate, to instruct his people in what to do. And what Jesus tells us is it's up to us as his people to seek that kingdom, to seek that rule and authority of God, and to submit ourselves to the rule and the authority of God. So here is a worthwhile, a wise, and a careful way to spend our newly acquired free time. Focus on God's things. Spend your time diving into spiritual pursuits that maybe you otherwise might have let fall by the wayside. And we could make a list, right? And I actually will. I'll make a list for you of things that you could do in times when you have nothing else to do, when you have free time, when you don't have work or school or family obligations or whatever other things you might have going on. Focus on God's things. What does that look like? How about Bible reading? How many of you have read your Bible more in the last couple of weeks since all of this has gotten started? If you weren't reading your Bible before, or maybe you started back in January and you're doing one of those Bible reading programs and you got to the book of Leviticus and you just kind of, petered out and you stopped, man, now's a great time to get back into that. Here you have this opportunity to read your Bible. You have time for it, right? You say, well, I just don't have time to read the Leviticus. Now you do. If you need an excuse to read the book of Leviticus, now's your chance, right? Do it now. How about beyond Bible reading? What if we talk about actual Bible study? Not just reading the text. Just reading the text is important, but what about actually digging into Bible questions that you have and just never found the time to answer or never found the time to ask? If you weren't spending time before really asking Bible questions and seeking Bible answers, if you were just kind of superficially reading or superficially coming to Bible study or coming to listen to sermons or something like that, because you just never really had time to go back and study those questions before, now you have the time to do it. Now you've got the free time, or at least many of us do, more than we did before. Why not take this time to dig into the Bible? To really study what God's will is and how to best understand it and follow it. What about prayer? We talked about prayer not long ago in one of our question and answer sessions. How often do you get to the end of the day and you think, man, I couldn't squeeze it in. You know, I didn't find any time to pray. And probably that's a heart problem that we need to work on, because in reality, I think we all have more time to pray than we think. But now you do. Now you have the time for that. Now you can set aside some time in your day to pray. What about things like caring for brethren? You know, we're in a time right now when we need that. We need that connectivity. Even if we can't be with one another, even if we can't go visit one another, we need to be texting one another, calling one another, emailing one another, writing cards, checking in, making sure we're okay. Work gets in the way of that all too often, right? We forget to call. We forget to write. We forget to check in. School gets in the way. Our family gets in the way. Whatever it is, and a day goes by, and we say, we just didn't have time. But now you have ample free time to get it done. And I think about Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, where Paul says that as we have opportunity, we are to do good to all men, especially to those to the household of faith. But Paul says that as you have opportunity, right? And sometimes we read that and say, oh, well, I didn't have any opportunity today. Well, now you do. Now you have a chance to get it done. Use your free time wisely. Don't be foolish with it. Use it in a way that is glorifying God. Use it in a way that is careful and deliberate. Care for your brethren during these times. What about maybe some of you have toyed around with the idea of, preaching sermons or preparing Bible classes, you know, for our ladies maybe, or men, or whatever the case is. Maybe you've toyed with the idea of giving an invitation on Wednesday night, and you just say, well, I just never have time to put it together. You know, I can't just sit down and do it. Man, use this time to prepare some of that material. Use this time to prepare to get up and teach God's word. Use this time to prepare yourself to get out and teach people God's word when this is all said and done. What about family Bible studies? You never have time to pull the family together to study the Bible. It's always, you get to the end of the day and you're tired and it's late and the kids are cranky and you can't sit down and read the Bible. Now we've got free time. Now we've got some chances where we can implement some of these things, where we can get our family together, where we can read the Bible, where we can sing some hymns, not just on Sunday, on other days of the week throughout. Now you have that time. How about saying thank you to our elders, to our deacons, writing them an encouraging card or not? Think about all of these different kinds of things, all of these ways that we can spend our time seeking God's kingdom, seeking God's righteousness, doing what is right in his eyes and submitting ourselves to his rule. Here are the things I want to encourage you to do with your extra free time. If I can maybe kind of summarize some of this up here. Here are the things I want to encourage you to do with your extra free time. Do whatever things bring you closer to God, right? I'm not saying you can't do other things with your free time, but you need to make time, especially now, to do the things that bring you closer to God, that bring you under his rule and authority, that bring you under his kingdom, and bring you into his righteousness. And the second thing is, and maybe this is just kind of a practical barometer for us to kind of set gauge, what kinds of things we can or should be doing. Whatever things bring you closer to God, but also whatever things you have neglected because you just didn't have time before. Focus on those things. Anything you got to the end of the day and you just said, I just don't have time for it. Use this time when you're quarantined in your house, when you can't go anywhere else or whatever, use this time to to bring yourself closer to God and to do those things that you might have neglected before because you just didn't have time. Whether your free time is great or little, and listen, I'm not saying that all of us now have all of this free time. Some of us might be even busier now with things going on. So whether your free time is great, whether you are at home and you've got nothing to do now because you can't leave your house, or whether you really don't have much free time at all, it really doesn't matter how much free time we have. What matters is how we use it. Are we using it to glorify God? Are we using it to seek God's kingdom? Because that's where we need to be focused. Because how you use your free time matters. Now, how you engage with God's people in your free time is significant. Don't be foolish with it, but be wise with it. Be careful with how you walk. Make the most of your time because the days are evil. How you use your free time matters, and it always has, and it always will. Long after this pandemic is over, it'll still matter how you use your free time. Before we close out this video, listen, that's the thoughts I've had prepared for us. I just want to encourage you to use your free time well as you have it. Use today well. Worship God today as you can with those who are closest to you. Glorify God today and every day. But before we close out, I want to make this clear. I don't know if we have visitors watching with us. I see a lot of our members have commented, and I appreciate that. It's good to know I'm not just talking to no one. But if there's anyone out there who might not know what the gospel is, who might not know what the hope of the gospel is, the peace that the gospel provides in uncertain times, if you need that, we're still ready to do that. We are ready to teach you the gospel, to sit down and open God's word and read it with you. I will do it virtually with you. I will sit down with you like this. I will come to your house. We can go somewhere, to a park, whatever. I will catch the coronavirus if it is good for spreading the gospel to you. Listen, I'm there are more important things than the coronavirus. There's more important things than what's going on, and salvation is one of those things. And so if there's anyone out there who needs the gospel, who would like to talk about the gospel, we want to make provisions for that. And we're ready to do that even in these uncertain times. I also want to encourage you, our members and those who are visiting with us, to join me tonight at 5. I'm planning on coming back on at 5 and doing a shorter video, reading through James chapter 2, kind of like we did last Friday. And so I want to encourage you to come out and study James 2 with me. We'll just read it a little bit, maybe make a few comments. Until then, I hope that your Sunday is blessed. I hope that you find ways to glorify God and worship him on his Lord's Day. And let's stay in contact. Let's pray for one another and give God glory in all things. Y'all have a great day, and we'll hope to see y'all soon.